Hi, this is Kip Laxon, and I welcome you to this edition of the podcast, Faith Matters Today. And in the last session, I began a series with you entitled Hymns Matter, the stories behind the songs. And we began with the hymn of promise in that particular podcast. And so we're continuing this adventure together in looking at the great hymns of the faith, the great hymns of the church, and how they speak to us and the stories that were behind them, who wrote them and why. And often that is as interesting as the wording in the hymns themselves. In 1970, on February the 8th, the Reverend Dr. Robert Schuller, the senior pastor of the Garden Grove Community Church in Garden Grove, California, began a religious television broadcast known as the Hour of Power. Over the course of the next 10 years, it became the most watched weekly religious program in living rooms all across America. And the Hour of Power famously began at that time soaring over the next 30 years to become one of the most watched, widely watched broadcast around the world. When it came to a religious broadcast, Dr. Schuller would broadcast their Sunday morning worship service from the Garden Grove Community Church and later what became known as the Crystal Cathedral. For over 30 years, the opening of that program began with the soaring rendition of the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Indeed, one of my favorites that we often sing as a part of our United Methodist worship services as well. And that particular broadcast of the Hour of Power became known for that song. It became their theme song, this theme song of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. This hymn is based off of John 15, St. John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, and the first 11 verses. Let me just share a little bit of that with you, and then I'm going to give you the key verse, which is in verse 11 from the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Jesus begins, he's talking, and he says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." That's John 15, verses 1 through 5, and then down to verse 11, which is the key verse. "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." This fullness of joy that is ours in Jesus Christ is captured none better than in this hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. This hymn is generally considered by hymnologists to be one of the most jubilant expressions of sacred lyrics in the entire English language, and it can show us what true joy and happiness is really all about. The author of this hymn is the Reverend Henry Van Dyke. Van Dyke was born in Germantown, Pennsylvania, on the 10th of November in 1852. And Reverend Van Dyke was at that time recognized as one of the leading Presbyterian ministers and liturgists in the country. In addition to his fame as a preacher and as a pastor, he also served as a professor at Princeton University from 1900 to 1923. He would later be appointed by the President Woodrow Wilson as the ambassador to Holland and Luxembourg. Van Dyke was, of course, involved in many areas of ministry and ecumenical issues in the life of the church and, of course, in being a diplomat of goodwill to other countries, as I just mentioned a moment ago. And yet, part of the legacy he leaves us is his hymn writing. Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee is without question his best-known hymn. The tune comes from the final movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and was printed in a hymnal by Edward Hodges. Hodges was the chief organist at the Trinity Church in New York City, and the words were written by Van Dyke, but it was Hodges who actually took the manuscript and put it to music, designed the tune, as it were, that we know today, famously so. Van Dyke was a guest preacher at the Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts. And it is said that one morning Van Dyke delivered this manuscript to the college president. The manuscript would be this hymn, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." And Van Dyke said when he delivered it to his friend, the college president, he said, "Here's a hymn for you. Your mountains," referring to the mountains that surrounded the college campus, he said, "were an inspiration to me." And he said, "Now, the one thing about this is it must be sung to the music of Beethoven's Hymn of Joy." Henry Van Dyke would later include it in a book that he published in 1911 called The Book of Poems. Not clear whether he intended it to become a hymn that would be sung by choirs, used as anthems, and in congregational singing in the life of the church. He wrote it as a poem in the beginning, but later, as this joy-filled anthem was put to music, it would come to betray an interaction between the creative power and the presence of God that is manifested in the natural world around us. This hymn also has an invitation for all of God's children to join the mighty chorus, declaring that the glory of God is the wellspring of the joy of living. It is a hymn, a poem, and a hymn that embodies the desire we have to adore God, and to do so, yes, out of reverence, but also to do so out of great joy that this relationship with God made known to us in Jesus Christ beckons us to express our gratitude, to express our worship, to express our celebration in the words of this hymn, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." Now, when we talk about joy, it's interesting that in our day, psychologists have studied the issue of what brings joy to people, what brings true happiness. And one social psychologist, famously so, a lady named Sonia Lombriski, in her book, which was a bestseller called The How of Happiness, shares the following principles from her observation and scientific study of the thinking and behavior patterns of people that evidence joy and happiness. And she said that these components make up their life, make up how they view living, make up how they go about their days. She said, first, they devote a great amount of time to their family and friends. Second, they express gratitude for all that they have. They focus on not what they've lost, but what they have left, and they find true happiness in that. Third, they freely offer a helping hand to those in need. She says that she's discovered that people who have real happiness find ways of being in service to those around them. Another point she makes is that they have an optimistic outlook on life, not a shallow sort of positive approach in the face of great negativity, but that they generally look at life as a great gift, and it creates optimism on their part to overcome great setback, to plow through great adversity, to climb out of the mountain or out of the valley and up the mountain. Another thing she said that she's found about people that exhibit this true joy, this true happiness, is that they live in the present. They're not locked in the past. We all have a past. That's one thing that all human beings have in common, things in our past that we would like to change, that if we could go back and we could undo or redo things in our life where we failed or fallen short, or things that have happened to us that were not our fault that have created unhappiness or pain or struggle. We learn to leave that in the past. As Christians, we place that in the hands of God, and we find healing in the present. We live in the present, and we celebrate the present, this gift that God has given us today. Another point she makes is that these people of true joy make some form of physical exercise a part of their daily routine, that they get out and about and enjoy the world around them. They find fulfillment in healthy living in all levels and in all areas. She also goes on to say that these people are deeply committed to lifelong goals and ambitions. They have a dream, And whether that dream is ever fulfilled, they're always striving, always reaching forward. As the great Apostle Paul put it, when he says, forgetting what is behind me, I press on to that which is ahead. And for him, what was ahead was the promise of Jesus Christ, both in this life and in the life yet to come. There's a deep commitment to lifelong goals and ambitions. And for people of faith, that is to find that place and purpose in God and to live that out with great energy and zest for that which God has given us. Another thing that she mentions in the last one that I will call your attention to today is that she says that these people that really exhibit true joy and happiness, while they have their fair share of stresses and crisis and disappointments and tragedies, they demonstrate a strong sense of poise in facing the challenges of life. Now, does it mean that they ignore those things that happen in life that kind of knock us off our stride or cause us to go off track, as it were? But they recognize that the strength that comes from a higher power, the power of God through His Holy Spirit at work in our lives, can help us stay focused as we move forward through the midst of great adversity. Let me ask you this question. Have you found this kind of joy? You can. Each time I sing this hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, I am reminded of that which God has done for me and ways in which God has been faithful to me in my life and in the life of my family. And no matter what I'm facing today, if I'm honest about it, when I look back over my life, I can see how God has been at work. The invisible hand of God's providence has been at work in ways that I couldn't possibly imagine, that I could not possibly comprehend. And because of that, I'm able to express true joy, to adore the God who loves and adores me, to worship the God who loves and adores you. One of the great things about this hymn is that it reminds us that we are the people of God in spite of all of our shortcomings and foibles, sins and eccentricities. God is still there at work in our life. And worship is a component to where we worship God not because everything makes sense, or not because everything in life is in order, or not because things are going my way, but because God is God. And because of who God is and what we see of God in the life of Jesus Christ, we're able to worship from a place of joy, from a place of true happiness. Now, one thing we need to say is there's a distinction between our emotions, happy moments, and the kind of joy that only Christ can bring. One is dependent on outside circumstances. There are things that happen on a daily basis that will leave us unhappy. But joy can still abide within us, the joy we find in having a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. And that happens when you place your life in Christ's hands and you trust your life into His care. Then you find hope and happiness. And He offers in the joyful music that leads us sunward in the triumph song of life, as the hymn so powerfully says. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. Are you adoring Him today? Are you adoring the fact that He loves you no matter who you are, or where you're from, or what's going on in your life? Are you finding that true sense of joy in Jesus Christ in spite of anything that's happening around you? Are you willing to say, God, I want to know that kind of joy, and I want to know it deep inside myself that keeps me strong and centered? It's like a buoy that holds me solid in the midst of the storms of life. It's like an anchor when my boat of life would want to drift away, when the waves of uncertainty would beat against me and want to take me a different direction than I know that I should be going. It's then and there that we're able to swell our voices with the great chorus that has sung down through the ages, the power of God's joy. So we adore You, God. Joyful, joyful, we adore You. And in that adoration, we find salvation. In that adoration, we find a sense of commitment, both the commitment we've made to You, O God, and the commitment that You have made to us, that You will never leave us and You will never forsake us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the great love of God made known to us in Jesus Christ. And for that very reason, and that reason alone, our hearts should sing with great celebration about the joy of God. We truly adore God, and we do it in a spirit of joyful reverence and worship. I thank you for joining for this podcast today. And if you're in the Johnson City area and you would love to worship with us in person here at Muncie Memorial United Methodist Church, we're right downtown on Roan Street, R-O-A-N. Love to see you and meet you in one of our worship services. You can check us out at muncie.org, M-U-N-S-E-Y.org. And I want to ask you to pass this podcast along to your friends and family. My prayer is that it would be a hopeful encouragement to them, that it would involve them in biblical issues and theological issues. It would challenge them intellectually, but it also would inspire them in a way to help them live out their life with a meaningful faith. That is my prayer. That is my desire above all else. I thank those like Ed Temple and Brett Smith and John Redman who have helped me make this podcast possible. And I want it to be a tool to be used, not just for you to enjoy and listen to as your pastor, a way of us connecting on a more regular basis and a more personal basis, but it would become a tool for you to use in passing along to your friends and family members as well. It's a great tool also to give to someone that you'd like to invite to church and say, hey, come and be a part of what God is doing at Muncie Memorial Church. It's a great way of saying, here, check this out. Come and be a part of the exciting things that are happening in our community of faith. Until we're together again, I pray God's richest blessings upon you. And I pray that as we unite our voices in song and worship and prayer and fellowship, that the great joy of God will become manifest in each of us. Until we're together again, God bless you, and I look forward to sharing with you in the weeks to come.